You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, When All Seems Lost. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
The pilot of a large Japanese airliner announced to the passengers that the plane was in serious trouble and that it would soon crash. Immediately, one of the passengers took out his diary and wrote 7 pages of notes. He told his family that he was about to die, and to his children he wrote, "Be good to each other and help your mother." Then he wrote, "I am very sad. I am sure that I will not make it." 5 minutes later, the same passenger wrote, "I don't want to take any more airplanes. I am grateful for the truly happy life I have enjoyed until now." Then he concluded, "What will happen now? Please, Lord, help me." When faced with the almost certainty of death, people often quickly try to grab onto anything which might save them. Every second is precious, and there is no time for idle or arrogant speculation as to whether or not there is a God. A similar situation is recorded in the Bible. In the book of Acts, we read where the Apostle Paul and a fellow worker were going to a place of prayer. There they met a young lady who possessed unusual power of fortune-telling. Her abilities were bringing for her masters very much money. And when the Apostle Paul and his co-worker in Christ arrived in the area, this young lady kept crying out and saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God. They are proclaiming unto you the way of salvation." This lady continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed, and finally he turned and said to the spirit within the woman, "I command you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And the evil spirit came out of the woman at that very moment. Now when her masters saw that their hope of profit was now destroyed, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion. These are Jews, and they are proclaiming customs which are not lawful for us to accept or to observe, since we are Romans." The crowd rose up against Paul and Silas. The chief magistrates tore their robes off those men, and then they proceeded to order Paul and Silas to be beaten with rods. Now, when they had inflicted many blows upon Paul and Silas, the authorities then threw these men into prison. They commanded the jailer to guard them securely. The jailer obeyed. He threw Paul and Silas into the inner prison, and then he fastened their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. The other prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there came a great earthquake, so great that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. The prisoners were free. The Bible now further explains that when the jailer had been roused out of his sleep, and when he saw that the prison doors were opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. The jailer thought that the prisoners had escaped, but St. Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." The jailer then called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas, and after he brought them out, the frightened jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household." Then Paul and Silas spoke the word of the Lord unto the jailer, together with all those who were in his house. The jailer then took Paul and Silas that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately the jailer was also baptized, including his household. And he brought them into his house and set food before them. The jailer rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. Now, whatever we might say about this dramatic story in the Bible, we can surely see that the jailer in Philippi was very much like the passenger on the Japanese airplane. This passenger realized that his plane would soon crash, and in a last effort cried out, "Please, Lord, help me." Likewise, the jailer in Philippi also cried out in desperation when he realized that he would surely be executed if his prisoners were loose. Therefore, he fell down before Paul and Silas and begged, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" No one wishes to be in a crisis, but oftentimes God uses a crisis in order to focus our thoughts on what is most important in life and that which is crucial as we face death. 1 year ago this month, a leading contender for the office of the President of the United States wrote an open letter published in the New York Times. 8 years prior, this man had resigned as a U.S. congressman. He had been diagnosed as having cancer, and he wanted to spend his last days with his family. By the grace of God, however, after nearly a decade, this same man was still living, and so he decided to become the leader of the country. However, when he announced that he would run for President of the United States, numerous detractors doubted his capability. They asked him, "How do you cope? Does not the fear of cancer and the fear of death dominate your mind?" "At first," the man said, "the first 3 weeks were days of immobilizing terror, but then," he explained, "you finally realize that you must concentrate on living and not on dying." Then the man said, "Because I have seen what is really important in life, I now have a new willingness to tell people the truth. I don't care about what people will think anymore. The cancer, you see, has freed me." He said, "It freed me." Then the congressman concluded, "I thank God that my wife and I have been able to think positively and not to allow these false fears to ruin our last few years." Oh, to be obsessed with death is indeed a false fear, especially for a Christian. But Jesus did teach that we need always to be on the alert. We need to have our spiritual house in order. We need to live each day as if it were our very last. Each week throughout the United States, thousands of clergy urge people to consider their spiritual condition before that final hour arrives and it is too late. But sadly, these loving admonitions often fall upon deaf ears. Consequently, God often permits illness, financial difficulties, and even the death of a loved one to jolt people into reality and to wake people up. Even in the church, believers become complacent and indifferent. For this very reason, great hymn writers have penned verses urging all to consider the facts of life. Nothing in this world goes on forever. The final day of judgment is surely speeding toward us. The hymn writer, basing his message on the Bible, on the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, wrote these words, "The day is surely drawing near when God's Son, the Anointed, shall with great majesty appear as judge of all appointed. All mirth and laughter then shall cease, when flames on flames will still increase, as scriptures truly teacheth. A trumpet loud shall then resound, and all the earth be shaken. Then all who in their graves are found shall from their sleep awaken. But all that live shall in that hour, by the Almighty's boundless power, be changed at his commanding. A book is opened then to all, a record truly telling what each hath done, both great and small, when he on earth was dwelling. And every heart be clearly seen, and all be known as they have been, in thoughts and words and actions. Then woe to those who scorned the Lord and sought but carnal pleasures, who here despised his precious word and loved their earthly treasures. With shame and trembling they will stand, and at the judge's stern command to Satan be delivered." Now at this somber point in the hymn writer changes his style and begins speaking a prayer which all of us today at this hour would be advised to speak and to rejoice in. The hymn writer writes, "O Jesus, who my debt didst pay and for my sin wast smitten, within the book of life, O may my name be also written. I will not doubt, I trust in thee. From Satan thou hast made me free. and from all condemnation. Therefore, my intercessor be, and for thy blood and merit, declare my name from judgment free with all who life inherit, that I may see thee face to face with all thy saints in that blessed place which thou for us hast purchased. O Jesus Christ, do not delay, but hasten our salvation. We often tremble on our way in fear and tribulation. Then hear us when we cry to thee, come mighty judge, and make us free from every evil. Amen. Oh, this blessed law and gospel-oriented hymn must surely be considered one of the greats of the church. It spares no punches as it reflects how all men, rich or poor, famous or unknown, will surely soon stand before the great judgment throne of God. But equally important, this hymn also is clear in pointing out the only hope of man, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This salvation is possible through the sin-healing wounds of the crucified and the resurrected Redeemer. And so then, my friend, the next time you hear the story from the Bible about the Philippian jailer who became very frightened because he saw that his prisoners were loose and then realized that for this failure in duty, he faced the almost certain punishment of death. This then so shook him up that he cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" And when we consider the Japanese airline passenger who also cried out, "Please, Lord, help me." And when we see the great change in the United States congressman who learned that he had serious cancer, these are certainly dramatic stories. Nevertheless, many of you listening can tell similar stories of how unexpected events have come into your own life and the lives of your family, and how these experiences have had a similar massive impact on you personally. When disaster or destruction suddenly strikes either us or our loved ones, we often cannot do much to prevent tears or even death. The calamities of life are also ultimately connected to sin and our rebellion toward God. And in this life, there will always be tears and heartache and problems. But the good news of God's gospel tells us that our gracious Heavenly Father has already made arrangements so that when this life is finished, you and I, if we are Christians, yes, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will then be able to joyfully leave this life and then join the hosts of heaven. God desires that no one live in uncertainty, guilt, heartache, or tears forever. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John, in beautiful pictures, permits us a limited glimpse of this bliss-filled eternity, which all believers in the Lord Jesus will inherit as a result of their faith in the sin-cleansing salvation power of the crucified and the resurrected Christ. In the book of Revelation chapter 22, we read that in heaven there shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his bondservants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no longer any night, and they shall not have need of the light of a lamp, nor of the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and forever. With these warm words of heavenly hope, instead of fearing the future, let us in faith join with the Apostle John and rejoice, saying, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be, but we know that when he, Jesus, appears, that we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is." O Lord, let this be the sincere salvation prayer of all those who are listening today. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.